an effective Saturday service rehearsal is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother John Guy. Brother John Guy assists in the music department at Lancaster Baptist Church and is responsible for multiple groups and ensembles. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Chronicles. Wrong Testament. It says, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Verse 13, it says that the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. I think we would all agree that Sunday goes a whole lot better when the musicians are as one, when they're practiced and when they're prepared. Sunday is the biggest day of the week. Sunday is like game day. I mean, that's, you're looking forward to Sunday. Come Monday morning, you're already starting to think about Sunday. You're starting to put together some final details. You're starting to communicate with those who are are on the schedule, and you've been communicating with them before, but now you're doing a final touch base and making sure they know where they need to be and when, and making sure everything's coming along well. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, you start to get a little nervous because you know Sunday's coming. You start to submit some cue cards to your pastor and get them approved. But then when it comes down to it, Saturday for us is that final practice time to get ready for Sunday. Saturday has become something that the folks in our music ministry are just ready for. They know that we're going to have it. They've been doing Saturday rehearsals for probably 16 or 17 years now. I talked with Brother Schmidt before I prepared this lesson just to kind of get an idea of what it was like back then. He told me a little bit about how they got started, and I'll give you a few things there. If you don't have a Saturday sound check or a Saturday rehearsal, just some ways to get it started. But Sunday morning is really no time for surprises. You want things to be ready. You want things to be in place. Sunday is such an important day. Sunday morning especially, your pastor's coming in and he's got a lot on his mind. He's got that message on his mind. He wants to preach it. He wants to see people saved. You don't want the microphone to not turn on. You don't want the alto to be too loud. You want things to be as ready as you can make them. Now, we're still dealing with volunteers, and we're not obviously not professionals, and we're not trying to be. We're not trying to entertain. We're trying to minister. But there are still a lot of things that we can do to try to get ready for it and to make Sunday as clean and as appropriate as we possibly can. If you don't currently have a Saturday sound check or something like it, I would strongly encourage you to consider having one. If you do have them, I would encourage you to determine as a music director or music coordinator that you would take that time seriously and make it effective. And really put the time into preparing for that Saturday sound check and making it all that it needs to be. Why should you have a Saturday sound check? I jotted down just a few things that I thought were reasons to have one. And actually, before I even say that, the Saturday sound check is not a time, it's not when the choir doesn't come in on Saturdays. The Saturday sound check is a time for our orchestra and for our groups for Sunday. If you don't have an orchestra, it could just be your piano player or anybody that you do have playing, if you have a keyboardist and things like that. But it's going to be the ensemble that's going to sing, it's going to be the quartet, it's going to be the soloist. Whoever is singing on Sunday is going to come in on Saturday night and have that final practice. So why have a Saturday sound check? Well, first of all, it fine-tunes the music. Music should be well prepared before the sound check. Don't rely on the sound check as just a full-fledged practice. You really want to make sure that it's just about ready, but it does give you that last time to fine-tune some things. If something's not quite working for the group, you can adjust it if you need to. It gives you a final listen before Sunday. I mentioned in the last session, I'll say it again, there have been times on Saturday nights we've made changes. We've canceled groups because they're not ready. We've had to work with the group a little bit, or maybe change a section that wasn't working well, or just decide to skip a section, or change the ending of a song to make it end stronger as opposed to ending soft. And we can make those final adjustments on Saturday night. You don't want to get to Sunday morning and have the group get up and sing and then realize, you know, they probably needed about 2 more weeks on that song. You want to try to anticipate that if you can. Yes, question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. What I try to do is, if I have a group that I'm anticipating may not be ready, sometimes they surprise me on Saturday. If I'm anticipating they're not ready, I'll have a backup plan. But usually, if the right preparation has been made up to that sound check and practices are going well, and I've been to those practices and just kind of been checking up on them, then I've got a good feel for how that song's coming before Saturday even arrives. And if it's Wednesday and I go to an ensemble practice and, boy, they're just not ready, I won't have them come in Saturday. If it's close, I'll have them come in Saturday. But usually I've got a good idea if something's going to be needed or not. Occasionally it'll happen where maybe I didn't get to a practice or I didn't get to hear that week, and I get to a Saturday and it's just not ready, and it needs another 2 weeks. Well, then I pull together some of the old faithful ones and put together a trio or a quartet or a duet, or have a piano offertory instead, and we make something happen for Sunday. That usually doesn't happen. I mean, that's not how you want ministry to work. You want to be as planned and organized as you can. But occasionally, things, you do have to kind of be creative and put something together. Saturday sound checks. Why have Saturday sound checks? It also gives you the chance to balance the mix of the group. You can really step back and have them sing through and make sure the tenors, sopranos, altos, basses, that it's got a good mix, a good blend, that that there's not a voice sticking through or anything like that. Saturday sound checks also help to calm everyone's nerves, including your own. It's good for the group just to get up and to sing with the microphones. It sounds different with a microphone than it does in a practice. If you have monitors on your platform, that's a good thing, but that sounds different, that feels different than if you're just standing around a piano and singing. So it just kind of helps to get everybody ready. It also helps you gives you the opportunity to walk through some details. And I really believe that, I believe it was last night, Brother Davison talked about taking your ministry to the next level, and he said we shouldn't say that, but I already had it in my notes here. I really believe that this will help take your music ministry to the next level. It will help to increase the excellence of your music ministry. By making these Saturday sound checks a priority, and by putting this time in. Now, a lot of people don't want to do a Saturday sound check because that means they can't watch the ball game or they got to come in on another day. But how important is the music service to us? How important is it to us that it's ready and that it's right and that it's prepared and that it's honoring to the Lord? So let's take a look at some components to an effective Saturday rehearsal. Number one, and I mentioned this already, but the planning and the preparation. This is going to be one of your most important components, because in order to have a good Saturday rehearsal, the music has to be planned and prepared ahead of time. If you're not planning, if you don't have a music schedule, if you're not communicating, if you're not doing those things, Saturday soundcheck isn't just the cure-all for all the problems in the music ministry. You've got to have something in place already where you're planning and preparing. Letter A under this is have a music schedule. This is just a basic tool of communication, just to keep everybody on your team on the same page, to make sure that they know when they're scheduled to sing. Our music schedule is an Excel sheet, a month at a glance. And I can look ahead at any time to about 4, 5, 6 weeks ahead, and it's pretty well set in place. Ensembles are in place. Songs have been distributed. People are working on music. So having that music schedule and really working and planning that music schedule is going to really help to make Saturday go well. If people know well in advance what they're expected to have ready, if they've got music in their hands and so forth. Colin Powell said, if you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude. Organizing excellence begins really with planning your music schedule and being tenacious about it and having it organized and then communicating it and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I don't believe that music ministry is a place where we just depend on talent. Talent's not enough. Being the master of off-the-cuff music ministry, I don't think is going to work. Winging it, I don't think glorifies God. There are times when you have to pull something together at the last minute, but that shouldn't be the norm. We wouldn't expect our pastors to get up on Sunday morning and just say, well, whatever the Lord has this morning, let's figure it out. We don't want music ministry to be that way. We don't want to choose the hymns on Sunday morning. We don't want to be standing next to the guy doing prelude and say, okay, we'll do 185 and we'll do 372. You want to have something in place. You want to have something planned. Again, Sunday's coming. It's the biggest day of the week. And we want to make sure that everything is in place as best as we can get it there so that God is glorified through the service. A couple of tips for your music schedule, and these are real basic, and I'll just kind of go through these. But first of all, know your pastor's heart and preferences as you're planning the music schedule. Have a list of all your ensembles, groups, and soloists. As you're trying to decide who to use, it's good to have a reference. I have a document that has the ensemble and every member in each ensemble, the group, the smaller groups, the duets, the trios, the quartets, larger groups, the ensembles. I have a list of soloists. Some soloists would be considered a Sunday morning soloist. Some would be a Sunday night soloist. Some would be a Wednesday night soloist, just depending on their skill level and so forth. I've got a list of all the piano players in the church. I've got a list of all the orchestra members and so forth. Just having some of those practical things close. Keep an updated repertoire list. Talked about this in the last session some, but if your repertoire list is up to date, it'll help you in scheduling your music. Knowing what each group is able to work on, or what they're working on now, or what they've sung in the past, if you need to have them do a repeat song. Have a filing system where you can keep your new music and sort it. Email your schedule by the 15th of the month, which the 15th of the month is coming very soon. So I've got August ready. And as soon as this conference is over and I can get back to my desk, I'm going to email that schedule out. So that and usually the first week or two of the next month, I've already communicated with the group. So they're already well aware, or they're already working on their music. But by the 15th of this month, I want to mail out August, or email out August. Just having that in place so that I'm communicating with plenty of time so that they can get their music ready. If there are any changes, communicate. You can't communicate enough. Sometimes I might communicate too much. I don't know. Some people might get annoyed by how much I try to communicate. But I want to make sure that everybody knows what's happening. Not everybody checks email. So if you send an email and somebody doesn't respond, you may have to make some phone calls or touch base with them at church or whatever the case might be. But communicate with them. Having a music schedule is going to involve that communication. The more organized your planning is, the more flexibility you'll have when there are changes. So letter A in the planning and preparation is have a music schedule. Letter B, get music to groups well in advance. You can't expect someone to be ready for Sunday if you go to them on Monday and say, hey, can you have this ready? That's going to frustrate your music team. That's going to frustrate the soloist or the group. If it's constantly just last minute, if you're always calling them on Thursday or Friday and say, hey, I need something. If that's normal, that's going to frustrate them. There may be an exception. There may be an occasional time. And usually, if you're planned and organized, you have the flexibility to move this soloist up a week if this soloist can't do it or gets sick, and you can move them back. And if you're planned and organized, you have some of that flexibility. And if you communicate well, then your team members are usually willing, if they need to step in at the last minute and pull something together, they're willing to do that. But if it's constantly the last minute, then you're going to frustrate your volunteers. Ensembles should need anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the ensemble. A group, a trio, a quartet, 3 to 6 weeks. Soloists, 2 to 4 weeks. Again, that's going to depend on your musicians and skill level and so forth. But I wouldn't suggest anything less than 2 or 3 weeks for really a soloist or a group or an ensemble. You want to make sure that it's in their hands and that they're working on it, if not even more than that. For any groups that are established, you can give them multiple songs at a time. Have them work on a few songs. If a song's not working for them, they can try another one. And again, that's also helping them to see that you're planned and prepared. Letter C, have quality practices. Saturday soundcheck's not going to go well if your regular practices don't go well. Start on time. Have a piano player ready. Start with prayer. Have maybe an ensemble box or a list of current songs they can work on. Have the music ready. Keep the practices moving. Have fun. Practices should be enjoyable. Ensemble members should look forward to coming to those practices. I love hearing group members talk about how much they love singing the songs they're working on. To me, that's just kind of a small reward that says I'm doing something right. They enjoy the music. That's always encouraging to me. Yes?
Do you ever get together with your accompanist before the group actually is instructed in the song?
It depends on the accompanist. If it's a little more difficult song, I will. If there are changes in the song, I'll get with the accompanist so that they know the changes ahead of time. If we'd straighten some timings or cut out a section or something like that. That just sometimes depends. Usually the accompanists are ready and they can just kind of jump right in with the ensemble or group. Yes? Choir practice is about 50 minutes. 50. We practice at 4:25 on Sunday to about 5, well, maybe it's 60 minutes, but it probably shouldn't be. I go right up until about that bell rings, you know. usually about 4:25, 4:30 we start, and at about 5:20, 5:25 I'm letting them go. Service starts at 5:30.
How many times?
Just once, just on Sunday. Mm-hmm. If it's a special program or special days coming up, we'll give out a rehearsal schedule well in advance, have some special practices, come in at 3:30 or 4 on Saturday, or maybe have a Saturday practice. I'm sorry, on Sunday, or have a Saturday practice. So. We warm up Sunday morning at 8:15. Just sing through the songs once. So, yes.
How often are you introducing new music to the choir?
The choir, it's usually about quarterly. We'll go through seasons of, we introduced at the beginning of the summer 3 or 4 new songs for the conference that we were working on. And then we'll have about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in August where people are going to be here and there and gone and vacations. We'll have some shorter practices coming out of the conference. But come the first or second week of the fall quarter, I'm going to give them 3 or 4 brand new songs and say, let's work on these for Christmas or missions conference. So about 3 or 4 times a year, I'm trying to put some new music into the choir.
Everything else is done before. I mean, numbers, repeats. They're singing one per service, right, aren't they?
We sing an opener. And a special on Sunday morning,
okay.
And then a special on Sunday night, and then just a quick opener on Wednesday nights. Usually it's just a chorus or something.
But very rarely is that a new song you're telling me. Usually it's one we've done before then, right?
No, it's about every 6 to 8 weeks we'll do a new song with the choir. Mm-hmm. So, but that's on top of learning an Easter musical, learning a Christmas musical, things like that. So, okay, number 2 here. Number 1 was about planning and preparation. Number 2 is getting everyone to the sound check. Some of you are thinking, that sounds good on paper, but how do you get everybody there? Letter A is make it a priority. Make it a priority. For some churches, this may be completely new for you. Maybe you don't have anything. And maybe you're thinking, boy, my quartet or my ensemble or those group members, that soloist is not going to want to come out on Saturday. They're not going to want to give up that extra day. But a lot of it is just making it a priority. Let me give you a few tips. As I mentioned, I sat down with Brother Schmidt and talked to him about when they first started Saturday Sound Checks. What are some things that he did? First, what he did, he said he pulled together some of the key people. There are some people who are going to have to be there every Saturday. For us, it's a few of the sound men that are there every Saturday. It's our church pianist, Mrs. Tierney. She's there every Saturday. Obviously, In the early years, it was Brother Schmidt. Now it's me every Saturday. There are going to be 2 or 3, maybe 4 people that you're just going to need to have there. Somebody to do the sound, somebody to play the piano. And it's probably going to be about the same person every week, and they're going to need to be there every week. Pull them aside, maybe take them to lunch. Explain to them the importance of this. And really explain to them how this is going to help improve the excellence of your music team. And how that Sunday morning is an important time, and we want to glorify the Lord through the music, and we want to make sure that things are right. It's going to be a sacrifice for them, but as you explain the importance of them, most of the time they're going to be on the same page, and they're going to say, you know what, let's go forward with this, as was the case with Brother Schmidt and those people in the early years of this ministry. Brother Schmidt just helped them to capture the vision of a Saturday sound check and what would be accomplished, and they just got on board with it, and for probably about 18 years now, Mrs. Tierney's here every Saturday night for sound checks. And so pull aside some of those key people, and then maybe at a special luncheon or a special training time, introduce it to the entire team. Once you've talked to some of the key people about it and gotten them on board, maybe in the fall, have a kickoff luncheon where you invite the choir, and maybe you do a buffet style or a potluck style, and you challenge them and give them a challenge for the fall about being faithful, and give them some biblical principles, and just try to encourage them about, you know, worker standards and being involved in soul winning and so forth. And then explain it in that type of a setting where you've already maybe sat down and had a meal and thanked them for their service and their faithfulness, and then explain to them, just like you would have with the smaller group of people, the importance of this sound check and what it's going to accomplish. And that really, when it comes down to it and they think of it, the average ensemble is going to come in maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks for a Saturday sound check. Quartet or trio, maybe a little bit more, every 3 or 4 weeks. But as your groups develop and grow, they don't have to come in maybe as often as they think they do. So it really may end up only being one Saturday a month. And just explain it to them in that type of a setting and challenge them to go to that next level with you in your music ministry. There may be some people, there probably will be some people at first who give some resistance or aren't very fond of it because they don't want to give that extra amount of time. But that usually, once they get involved in it and really understand what it does even for them as a member of an ensemble or a group, they're willing to do it. And now it goes without question around here. People know Saturday sound checks are coming. So, question.
Hypothetically, let's say you have an ensemble and there are one or two people that can't be there that Saturday. If they can't make it to the Saturday rehearsal, do you replace them for that song for that week?
Almost. Go ahead.
Do you allow somebody, you know, once in a while, you just couldn't make it, you know, to miss but still to sing for that service?
Almost every time we have a Saturday sound check, somebody in a large ensemble can't make it. If it's a trio or if it's a quartet, I don't really want to sound check it without everybody there. So I may end up moving one of those smaller groups to accommodate the group. Maybe on Friday afternoon we'll do it. Depending on schedules, we could even do it Wednesday night after church for that following Sunday. If an ensemble member can't be there, they communicate that with me. You know, it's work, it's this, it's that. I mean, you're dealing with volunteers, so not everybody can have every Saturday. But we still, we mic the group, and the sound men know this guy here or this lady there. They sing this part, and they're not here tonight. They'll be here tomorrow morning. And then Sunday morning, we're walking through again with the ensemble, when to walk out, walking through some of those details. So, yes.
So no church activities, Sunday school activities on Saturday nights?
There will be some. But few. Our pastor really doesn't like a lot of activity on Sunday night other than preparation. I said Sunday night. Saturday night, I'm sorry. Other than preparation for Sunday. So obviously sound checks, he values those and he wants us to have those. Occasionally there might be a gathering at somebody's home for a class activity or something like that. And either, depending on how involved somebody is who's in the ensemble, they may not make that sound check. Or they try to come to the sound check and then go to the activity. Sound checks are going to start for us. They start at around 6 o'clock usually. So you can have an ensemble done by 6:30, and most of the evening is still free. So we still try to work with folks with schedules and things like that. But they also know coming into it, we're learning this song, and before we sing, we're going to have a sound check. So they have in the back of their mind that understanding that it's coming too. Usually it's Friday, usually, for Sunday school teachers. Or
I'm just thinking the whole church schedule here. Okay?
Right.
Sunday school is now Friday. What night's a ballgame?
Well, and it's not that Sunday school classes don't have activities on Saturdays. Some of them may do a Saturday afternoon. Some of them may do a Saturday night. But we're still, the ensemble members usually put the Saturday practice ahead of an activity. They'll go to the practice and then the activity. I don't think we have any ball games on a Saturday. Those are all weeknights because we want Saturday night to be just family time and preparation for Sunday and so forth. We don't want people to be out late and then fall asleep during church. So, good questions, though. Good questions. So just making it a priority with your people and helping them to really understand what this is going to do for them and what this is going to do for the team and for the music team, taking the music to that next level. Letter B, getting everyone there involves communicating. Letter B, communicate. You're going to communicate in your practices. You're going to send email reminders. You're going to make phone calls if you need to. And the more you do these practices, the more people are going to be used to them, and they just know that they're coming. Every week, I'm thinking, every Monday or Tuesday, I'm thinking, okay, I've got these groups on Sunday. When are they going to sound check this week? Again, some of them do it on Friday if it's a smaller group. If it's an ensemble, all of our ensembles sing with the orchestra, so it has to be on Saturday. Orchestra practice is 5:15 to 6:15. I bring an ensemble in at 6. They practice 15 minutes with the orchestra. I let the orchestra go. They practice another 15 minutes without the orchestra. Usually, if a song is ready, it takes about 30 minutes to sound check a group. Soloists, maybe a little bit less, maybe 20 minutes, 15 minutes, just depending on the soloist and how many times they want to sing through it and feel comfortable up on the platform. But communicate to the groups. Have a sound check schedule. When I go into a Saturday rehearsal, I don't want to just have everybody come at 6 o'clock. I don't want a 12-person ensemble and a trio and a soloist all there at 6 o'clock, because then I've got people sitting around. I usually start with the large groups, ensemble at 6, 6:30 the trio, 7 o'clock the soloist. And I'll send that schedule out. I'll be communicating the week before so that I kind of stagger when they come in, so that way they're not all there sitting around. And it usually works very well. It's usually right around 30 minutes a group. A couple of weeks ago, we had an ensemble that we just couldn't seem to get mixed well, and it went for about 50 minutes. But that's not the norm. Usually, they can be about 30 to 40 minutes, and then the next group comes in, and you just switch out. That way, you're not wasting anyone's time, and you're being considerate and so forth. But communicate all of that. Communicate that schedule. Letter C, who should be at rehearsals? Who should be at rehearsals? This should be your ensembles, groups, soloists, everything for Sunday, anything for Sunday. If you have somebody playing an offertory, if you have maybe a string group or somebody, a special type of a group that's going to do something on Sunday, have them come in on Saturday night. The pianist should be there, whoever's playing for the group or whoever's playing for the ensemble. Sound men should be there. You should be there, obviously. And you want to really work to get those people there so that you can have that quality practice. Number three, have a checklist. Go into your Saturday practice, because it's easy to miss things. It's easy to forget things. But if you have a checklist of areas that you want to make sure that you go over with the groups and with the ensembles, you won't miss the details. Saturday night is the time to think through details. Saturday night is the time to make sure that everything is in place. A couple of areas. Letter A, the positioning of the group. Talk about how to walk up, especially if it's a newer group or a newer ensemble or teenagers. If it's ladies, I try to tell them, take your time walking up the stairs. You don't want to trip. You don't want to. Just try to help them be mindful of a couple of things that they may not be thinking about. Tell them where to stand. You obviously want to position them on the platform. Look at heights. You don't want somebody real tall next to somebody short. We try to stagger it with a man and a lady across the platform. You want the ensemble or the group to look right, to look good. So talk through the positioning of the group. Talk about how to walk up. Talk about how to walk down. Our groups, when they walk off the platform, they don't come down the steps. They go off the side of the platform. So I talk through that. I remind them of those sort of things. And the more an ensemble sings, the more they know these things. But especially with some of the newer groups, and as if you're starting sound checks, these are some of the things to be mindful of. Letter B, the presentation of the group. Talk about how to hold the microphone. Let's pretend this is a microphone here. Every microphone is different. But our particular microphones have to be held right about here, about a 45-degree angle, 2 inches away from the mouth. You get 10 people up there, you're going to get 10 different ways that they're holding the microphone. You're going to have somebody doing this. We don't get the clarity in our microphones if they hold it like this. They're going to do this. If they do this, you get a lot of the P's, the T's into the microphone. If you do this, you don't get the clarity. The guys in the sound booth can't mix it properly. If you get this, then it's real muffled. It's real close to the microphone. So I talk about how to hold the microphone. And then you've got some people, they do this. They scan the crowd and they do this.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't work. So you talk about how to hold the microphone and where it needs to be. And especially, again, if it's a teen group or if it's a newer ensemble, they're so nervous about just being up there in front of everybody, they're not going to think about the microphone. And inevitably, you're going to talk through all these details and somebody's going to forget them. But the more you talk through them with these practices, the more they get them. I had a young men's quartet a few weeks ago, and I specifically talked to them about the microphone. And sure enough, one of the guys got up there, he started singing, and the microphone did this, you know. And the sound guys can only bring that mic up so much before it starts to ring. And so you want to talk through some of those details. I jotted this down. Don't hold the microphone cord. We don't have wired mics anymore as of last week, so that's not relevant for ours. But if you have microphones with cords, you don't want them doing one of these. That just looks tacky, or playing with it, or going over here. And you want to talk through some of those details. Talk about holding the microphone in the right hand, how to stand. Sometimes we'll have guys will do the football stance when they get up to sing. You want to just talk about how to stand, and you want to look comfortable. You want to be presented well. Communicating with expression. It doesn't matter how long the ensemble's been singing. I've always got to be reminding the ensemble to smile, lift their eyes, communicate to the congregation, scan the congregation, make eye contact, communicating the song. We're talking about all these little details on Saturday night. And then when they sing it, I'm looking for it. If they're not doing it, I stop them, and we go back and we try it again. So we're talking through all these details, the position of the group, the presentation of the group. Letter C, the attire of the group. For the ladies, you may want to talk about, make sure your hair is out of your eyes. You want to talk to the men and the ladies both about how to dress. We don't want guys up there with just, you know, khaki pants on. We want either a suit or nice dress slacks, dress shoes, dress socks. For the ladies, obviously, dressing appropriately, dressing modestly. Sometimes we'll even coordinate the dress. We'll say, let's have the ensemble wear blacks, whites, and reds. Just so that there's a presentation, just a quality look to the ensemble. We'll talk about that stuff on Saturday night, the attire of the group. Obviously, you want to know your pastor's preferences and requirements for an ensemble or for a group up on the platform. The ladies in our ensembles, our pastor prefers that they don't wear backless shoes. So I'm going to remind them of things like that, especially with a teenager. Sometimes they need to be reminded a little bit more. So talking through these details. Letter D, talk through the cue card order. The ensemble needs to know what's before them, when they walk up, when they walk down, where they come from, where they go. Just talk through some of those details. Are they coming up during a prayer? Is somebody going to call them up? Will there be any kind of an introduction? Do they need to be ready for the song before them? All those little details talking through. Obviously, Saturday, like I said already, and I'll probably say it again before the end of the session, it's about details. You're thinking details, you're walking through details, and the more you can get through these details, the more excellent Sunday morning will be. Letter E, listen to all speakers and monitors. This is going to be you. What's happening is you've got the group up there, whatever size group it is, they're singing, and you're out in the congregation, you're out in the auditorium. You're walking around, you're listening to make sure that speakers are working, you're walking up on the platform. If there are monitors on the platform, you're making sure they're plugged in and they're working and they're loud enough. They may need more piano in the monitors, they may need more voices in the monitors. If the pianist has a monitor, you're going over there making sure that the piano player can hear the group. You're all over the place while they're singing. You are really trying to get a feel for the song. You're trying to think Sunday morning, is this what it needs to be? And you really need to hear the song in the context of that service, Sunday morning or Sunday night, depending on what it is. The devil hates Sunday mornings. Any distraction that he can try to make. And if you haven't figured it out, the devil loves messing with sound systems. It's just one of his hobbies, I think. Listen from the main floor, listen from the platform, check the platform speakers, make sure they're plugged in. You've got to think if you have like a big event, maybe you've got a youth conference or maybe you've got something where the platform's been torn apart. Well, that particular Saturday, you've got to pay extra close attention, make sure everything was plugged back in right, make sure everything sounds the way it needs to sound. You don't want your pastor to get up there to preach and one of the monitors works and the other one doesn't, and then he's fighting with himself or the monitors aren't on or something's not right. You want to be checking through all those details. Letter F, check platform setup. I believe that the music director on Saturday really should own the platform. Make sure that everything is where it needs to be. You'll probably be the last one to see that platform before Sunday morning. We have phones on our platform so that if Brother Schmidt or Pastor need to call one of the sound guys or the tech guys in the back, they can do that. Every Saturday, I check that phone. I want to make sure it's plugged in because there have been Sundays when it's not plugged in. And I even come in on Sunday morning and do one final check. I want to make sure that somebody didn't come in and sweep off the platform and unplug something. If you've got any plants on the platform, make sure that they're situated right. Make sure the pulpit's in the center and make sure that everything is just exactly where it needs. Treat that platform like your living room. You wouldn't allow things to be out of place in your living room. You know, you wouldn't allow the light bulb to be out. You're going to change it. You're going to make sure that it's what it needs to be and that it's right. And that auditorium and that platform should be just like your living room. So really own the platform. If there's anything out of place, if there's any trash, if there's stuff in the pulpit is not a catch-all for all kinds of stuff. Make sure that the pulpit is, if there is something in there, that it's only what needs to be in there or what your pastor wants to be in there. Make sure that things aren't left on the platform. We'll have some of the musicians in the orchestra after orchestra practice. They'll leave, you know, music up on the railing, or they'll leave something on their chair, or they'll leave something, and you know, they'll just put it all over the place. So I'm going through on Saturday night, and I'm picking things up. I'm making sure that the platform is exactly what it needs to be, and that everything's in place. Letter G, go through the cue card order with the sound men. After everybody's done and we've sound checked every group, I'll stand at the pulpit. We've got the guy up in the sound booth, and I'll look at I'll take Sunday morning's cue card, and I'll just kind of walk through it with them. We're starting with this opener, and this lady's going to come out from the choir loft, and she's going to sing the solo from the pulpit. Or this guy's going to sing with the choir, but he's going to stay in the choir loft because it's just a short solo. And then we've got this trio. They're going to come out here, and we had this ensemble. They're going to sing tomorrow, but these two people were missing. Do you have their mics plugged in? Are we set for that? Okay, we're going to show this video. Let's run that video right now. Let's see that video, make sure that the sound's right, make sure that the picture's right. I'm walking through the cue card with them for special services. Maybe it's a missions conference, or maybe it's a Mother's Day, and we've got something special, a patriotic program. We're going to talk through that. If anything is out of the ordinary on the cue card, I'm going to make sure that they know. Okay, now after that choir opener, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. We don't do that every Sunday, but July 4th we did. It was something out of the ordinary. So I'm walking through the cue card with the sound men just to make sure that we're on the right page. And then letter H, own the auditorium. I kind of mentioned that with the platform, but make sure the lighting's right. Make sure that light bulbs haven't burned out. Make sure that everything is just where it needs to be. Now, can you imagine thinking about all those details on Sunday morning? It's just, you're going to miss stuff. It's not going to work. Can you imagine just bringing all your groups in and just having them get up on Sunday morning and then trying to mix them real fast? It's not going to have the quality as if you that it would if you have a Saturday practice. And so all of these details you're going over during this Saturday practice. And again, our ensembles are used to this now. Our groups are used to this. They appreciate it. We have the monitors on the platform, and so a lot of times if those monitors aren't right for a group, it doesn't feel right. They can't hear the piano, they can't hear themselves. So I'm up on that platform. I'll walk the choir loft too, because there are monitors in the choir loft. And on Sunday mornings, we seat the choir for the first special. I want to make sure they can hear that special. So I'm up there while the ensemble's singing, and I'm making sure those monitors are on, and just walking around and looking and making notes. If a light bulb's out, I'm going to call somebody to come over and change it, or something's out of place, or if the ferns are missing next to the pulpit, then I know who I need to call, because they need to be there Saturday night. And if they're not there tonight, they probably won't be there tomorrow morning. And I don't want to walk out on Sunday morning, or even more, I don't want my pastor to walk out on Sunday morning and something is drastically out of place, because then that throws his mind off of the message. And if I can take care of these details on Saturday, then we can go into Sunday, we can go into that game day ready and as prepared as we possibly can be. The last thing I want to talk about, number four, is after the rehearsal. After the rehearsal. These rehearsals have become really a time of relationship building for us, and camaraderie, and ensemble members just enjoy getting together with each other and having these sound checks and then chatting afterwards or doing things like that. But letter A, after the rehearsal, and this is important, have prayer. Have prayer. Curtis Hudson said, there's more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing you can do until you pray. what I try to do is at 6:15 when I dismiss the orchestra, I've still got an ensemble behind me. They've just spent 15 minutes singing with the orchestra. I'll dismiss the orchestra and I'll say, now, orchestra, thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming in tonight. Grab a partner, and while I continue with the ensemble, just have a word of prayer for the services tomorrow. Just grab a partner and kneel here in the pit, or find a place in the auditorium and just pray for the music tomorrow and pray for the preaching tomorrow. And then I'll dismiss them and they'll go to prayer. And then I'll work with the ensemble. Then the ensemble will get done. And I'll say, well, now let's come together. Let's have a word of prayer. Or I'll dismiss them. Grab a partner and have a word of prayer. And okay, now the quartet can come up and we'll keep moving with the practices. And one group's praying, the next group's practicing, and then that group prays, and the next group practices, and then we get the soloists up and they sing, and really make sure that you bathe the services in prayer. Really, all through those Saturday practices, you should be thinking about details. You should be praying and asking God to bless the songs that are being practiced, and praying that God would bless the service. Ask God to use the music to prepare hearts for the preaching. At the end of the day, it'd be fine. At the end of the night, on Saturdays, it'd be fine maybe to get together with the sound men and have a final word of prayer. Or maybe if there's just a couple of you still there, maybe the piano player, a couple of you get together and pray, or just you spend some time in the auditorium and just pray. And really bathe that service in prayer and ask God to use it. Letter B, after rehearsals, thank those who participated. People want to know they're appreciated. We all appreciate appreciation. And you're asking people to give half an hour or 45 minutes on a Saturday. Don't take that for granted. These are volunteers. These are people who work regular jobs. These are people who Saturday might be their day off. Saturday might be their family time. But yet they're going to come in, they're going to pull away from what they were doing, they're going to come in for 45 minutes or half an hour, and they're going to spend time so that you can make sure the music's ready for Sunday. And thank those who have participated. Just about every Monday morning, I sit down and I think through the day Sunday, or I've been on the back of my cue card all day Sunday, I'm making notes, and people I want to write, and people who are singing, or people who are involved. Monday morning, I'm writing notes. I'm just thanking them for putting in that time and being involved, or writing notes to the sound men, or writing notes to the piano player, and just appreciating those who serve and are a part of these. You can also have occasional ensemble fellowships. I think I mentioned this in a few of my other sessions, but it's always been an encouragement for our ensembles or our groups just to get together and have a fellowship. It might be something like a practice at someone's home, or it might be something maybe once a year where you have a luncheon for all of those who are involved in your special music. For years, we've had a luncheon in the fall for the orchestra and the ensemble members. So for all of the orchestra and all of the small group members. Recently, about 2 years ago, we added the choir to that. So now we have a big luncheon. We open up our North Auditorium. We set up tables. We do banquet style. We serve them a meal. We don't charge them a thing. And it's just a way to say thank you. We've had a great summer. Leadership conference was great. Thank you for all of your hard work and extra time. Thank you, but now here's what we're doing over the next 4 months. And we put stuff in their hands. We try to equip them. We try to give them a challenge from the Word of God. We try to just hit the reset button. And whether you decide to do that with your whole choir or with your ensembles, with your groups, think of ways that you can appreciate them. We've had orchestra dinners before. Where we just pull in the orchestra and have a meal after a service or something. Or again, you could, just depending on the size of your groups, you could have them all over your house just for a fellowship after church, some Wednesday night or some Sunday night. Just thank them for how they serve in the music ministry. A typical Saturday for us is starts at about, 4:30 we have men's prayer. After 4:30, we're running cue cards off for the day, or for Sunday, and by about 5:15 the orchestra's in. We start orchestra practice at 5:15. If an ensemble is singing on Sunday, I bring them in at 6 o'clock. They work 15 minutes with the orchestra. I let the orchestra go at 6:15, and then work for another 15 or 20 minutes with the ensemble. Then we'll have maybe a quartet come in and sing, and then another group, and then a soloist or two soloists. Usually by about 8 o'clock or so, John Tyler here helps out with some of the music here. We're about the last two left, and we've sound-checked just about everything for the day. And we make any last-minute things that need to be done, put out music for the choir for the next day, make sure the notebooks are ready for the piano players. And so normally by about 8 o'clock or 8:30, if we don't have quite as many groups, it could be a little earlier, 7:30, we're heading home and just getting ready for the day on Sunday. But all of that time is well spent, and it's well worth it. And we found over the years that it really helps Sunday to go a lot better, having those Saturday sound checks and those Saturday rehearsals. I've said a lot, and I've talked through some various different details, and I hope I've said something that's been an encouragement or help to you. But
we trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.